98, verse 4. Only the flesh with the soul thereof, the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Flesh signifies the voluntary part of man. The soul signifies the new life. The blood signifies charity. Not to eat signifies not to mingle together. Wherefore, by not eating flesh with the soul thereof, the blood thereof, is meant not mingling profane things with holy. 999. That flesh signifies the will part of man is evident from the signification of flesh in its proper sense in reference to man when corrupt. Flesh in general signifies the whole man, and specifically the corporeal man, as may be seen above, number 574. And since it signifies the whole man, and specifically the corporeal man, it signifies what is proper to man, consequently his will part. Man's voluntary part, or will, is nothing but evil, and therefore flesh predicated of man, because he is such, signifies all cupidity or all lust. For man's will is nothing but cupidity, as occasionally shown before. And because flesh has this signification, such was also the representation of the flesh which the people lusted after in the desert, as in Moses. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, whence they wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? Numbers 11, verse 4. Here flesh is plainly called lust, for it is said that they fell a-lusting, saying, Who shall give us flesh? The same is likewise evident from what follows. While the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against the people, and Yahuwah smote the people with a very great plague. And the name of that place was called the Graves of Lust, because there they buried the people that lusted. Verses 33 and 34. It must be evident to everyone that such a plague would never have been sent among the people on account of their lusting after flesh, thus not on account of a lust for flesh, since this is natural when a man has been kept from eating it for a long time, as the people then had in the wilderness. But a deeper reason lies hidden, which is spiritual, namely, that the people were of such a nature as to loathe what was signified and represented by the manna, as is evident also from the sixth verse, and to desire only such things as were signified and represented by flesh, the things of their own will, which are of those of lusts, and in themselves are excrementitious and profane. It was because that church was representative from the representation of such things that the people were afflicted with so great a plague. For what was done among the people was represented spiritually in heaven. The manna represented in heaven what is celestial, and the flesh which they lusted after, the unclean things of their own will. For this reason, because they were of such a nature, they were punished. From these and other passages in the Word, it is evident that by flesh is signified what is of the will, and here of the will of man, the uncleanness of which may be seen under the second verse of this chapter, where the beast of the earth is treated of. 1000. That the soul signifies life is evident from the signification of soul in the word in many places. Soul in the word signifies in general all life, as well internal or that of the internal man as external or that of the external man. And because it signifies all life, it signifies such life as is that of the man of whom the soul is predicated. Here it is predicated of the life of the regenerate man, which is separate from man's will. For, as already said, the new life which the regenerate spiritual man receives from the Lord is entirely separate from the will or proprium of the man. That is, from the life that is his own, which is not life, though so called, but is death, because it is infernal life. Here, therefore, flesh with the soul thereof which they should not eat signifies flesh together with its soul. That is, they should not mingle this new life, which is of the Lord, with the evil or excrementitious life, which is of man, that is, with his will or proprium. 1001. That the blood signifies charity is evident from many things. Thus it signifies the new will part which the regenerate spiritual man receives from the Lord, and which is the same as charity, for the new will is formed of charity. Charity or love is the very essential or life of the will, for no one can say that he wills anything except from choosing or loving it. To say that one thinks a thing is not to will it, unless willing is in the thought. This new will which is of charity is here the blood, and this will is not the man's, but the Lord's in the man. And because it is the Lord's, it is never to be mingled with the things of man's will, and which are so foul, as has been shown. For this reason it was commanded in the representative church that they should not eat flesh with the soul or blood thereof, that is, should not mingle the two together. The blood, because it signified charity, signified what is holy, and the flesh, because it signified man's will, signified what is profane. And because these things are separate, being contrary, they were forbidden to eat blood. For by eating flesh with the blood was then represented in heaven profanation, or the mingling of what is sacred with what is profane. And this representation in heaven could not then but strike the angels with horror. For at that time all things existing with the man of the church were turned among the angels into corresponding spiritual representations, in accordance with the signification of the things in the internal sense. As the nature of all things is determined by that of the man of whom they are predicated, so also is the signification of blood. Relatively to the regenerate spiritual man, blood signifies charity or love towards the neighbor. Relatively to the regenerate celestial man, it signifies love to the Lord. But relatively to the Lord, it signifies all his human essence, consequently love itself, that is, his mercy towards the human race. Hence blood in general, because it signifies love and what is of love, signifies celestial things which are of the Lord alone. And thus relatively to man, the celestial things which he receives from the Lord. The celestial things which the regenerate spiritual man receives from the Lord are celestial spiritual, of which by the divine mercy of the Lord we will treat elsewhere. That blood signifies what is celestial, and in the supreme sense signified the human essence of the Lord, thus love itself, or his mercy towards the human race, is evident from the sanctity in which it was commanded that blood should be held in the Jewish representative church. For this reason, blood was called the blood of the covenant, and was sprinkled upon the people, as also upon Aaron and his sons, together with the anointing oil. And the blood of every burnt offering and sacrifice was sprinkled upon and around the altar. See Exodus 7, verses 7, 13, 22, and 23. 24, verses 6 and 8. Leviticus 1, verses 5, 11, 15. 4, verses 6, 7, 17, 18, 25, 30, and 34. 5, verse 9. 16, verses 14, 15, 18, and 19. Numbers 18, verse 17. Deuteronomy 12, verse 27. And because blood was held so sacred and man's will is so profane, the eating of blood was severely prohibited on account of its representation of the profanation of what is holy. As in Moses, it shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings, that ye shall eat neither fat nor blood. Leviticus 3, verse 17. Fat here denotes celestial life, and blood, celestial spiritual life. The celestial spiritual is the spiritual that is from the celestial. As in the most ancient church, love to the Lord was their celestial because implanted in their will. Their celestial spiritual was the faith therefrom, of which see above, number 30 to 38, 337, 393, 398. With the spiritual man, however, the celestial does not exist, but the celestial spiritual, because charity has been implanted in his intellectual part. Again in Moses. Whosoever of the house of Israel, or of the sojourner sojourning among them, eateth any manner of blood, I will set my faces against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the soul of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The soul of all flesh, it is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Leviticus 17, verses 10, 11, and 14. Here it is plainly shown that the soul of the flesh is in the blood, and that the soul of the flesh is the blood or the celestial, that is, the holy, which is the Lord's. Again, be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the soul, and thou shalt not eat the soul with the flesh. Deuteronomy 12, verses 23 to 25. From this passage also it is evident that the blood is called the soul, that is, celestial life or the celestial, which was represented by the burnt offerings and sacrifices of that church. And in the same way, that what is celestial, which is the Lord's proprium, which alone is celestial and holy, was not to be commingled with that which is man's own, which is profane, was also represented by the command that they should not sacrifice or offer the blood of the sacrifice on what was leavened. Exodus 23, verse 18, 34, verse 25. What was leavened signified what is corrupt and defiled. That blood is called the soul and signifies the holiness of charity, and that the holy of love was represented in the Jewish church by blood, is because the life of the body consists in the blood. And as the life of the body consists in the blood, this is its ultimate soul, so that the blood may be said to be the corporeal soul, or that in which is the corporeal life of man. And because in the representative churches, internal things were represented by external, the soul or celestial life was represented by the blood. 1002. Shall ye not eat? That this signifies not to mingle together follows from what has just been said. Eating the flesh of animals, regarded in itself, is something profane. For in the most ancient time, they never ate the flesh of any beast or bird, but only seeds, especially bread made from wheat, also the fruit of trees, vegetables, various milks, and what was made from them, such as various butters. To kill animals and eat their flesh was to them wickedness, and like wild beasts. They took from them only service and use, as is evident from Genesis 1, verses 29 and 30. But in process of time, when men began to be as fierce as wild beasts, and even fiercer, they then for the first time began to kill animals and eat their flesh. And because such was man's nature, it was permitted him to do this, and is still permitted to this day. And so far as he does it from conscience, so far it is lawful for him, since his conscience is formed of all that he supposes to be true, and thus lawful. No one, therefore, is at this day condemned because of eating flesh. 1003. From these things it is now evident that not to eat flesh with the soul thereof, the blood thereof, is not to mingle profane things with holy. Profane things are not mingled with holy by one's eating blood with flesh, as the Lord clearly teaches in Matthew. Not that which entereth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which proceedeth out of the mouth, this defileth the man. For the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart. 15, verses 11, 18 to 20. But in the Jewish church it was forbidden, because, as has been said, eating blood with the flesh in heaven then represented profanation. All things done in that church were turned in heaven into corresponding representatives, blood into the holy celestial, flesh, outside of the sacrifices, because it signified lusts, into what is profane, and the eating of both into the mingling of the holy with the profane. For this reason it was then so severely forbidden. But after the coming of the Lord, when external rites were abolished, and thus representatives ceased, such things were no longer turned in heaven into corresponding representatives. For when a man becomes internal and is instructed about internal things, external ones are of no account to him. He then knows what holiness is, namely, charity and the faith therefrom. According to these are his external things then regarded, that is to say, according to the amount of charity and faith in the Lord there is in them. Since the coming of the Lord, therefore, man is not regarded in heaven from external things, but from internal ones. And if any one is regarded from external things, it is because he is in simplicity. And in his simplicity there are innocence and charity, which are in his external things, that is, in his external worship, from the Lord without the man's knowledge. 1004, verse 5. And surely your blood with your souls will I require. From the hand of every wild beast will I require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of the man his brother, will I require the soul of man. And surely your blood with your souls will I require, signifies that violence done to charity will punish itself. Your blood here is violence. Souls are those who inflict violence. From the hand of every wild beast signifies from all that is violent in man. From the hand of man is from all his will. From the hand of the man his brother is from all his understanding. Will I require the soul of man? Is to avenge profanation. 1005. And surely your blood with your souls will I require. That this signifies that violence done to charity will punish itself, and that blood is violence, and souls those who inflict violence, is evident from what precedes and what follows, as also from the signification of blood in the opposite sense, and from the signification of soul in the opposite sense. From what proceeds, because in the preceding verse, the eating of blood is treated of, by which is signified profanation, as has been shown. From what follows, as the next verse treats of the shedding of blood, and therefore here the subject is the state and punishment of him who mingles what is sacred with what is profane. From the signification of blood in the opposite sense, because in the genuine sense blood signifies what is celestial, and in reference to the regenerate spiritual man, charity, which is his celestial. But in the opposite sense, blood signifies violence done to charity, consequently what is contrary to charity, and therefore all hatred, revenge, cruelty, and especially profanation, as may be seen from the passages in the word cited above. Number 374, 376. From the signification of soul in the opposite sense, since soul in the word signifies in general life, thus every man who lives. But since such as man is, such is his life, it signifies also the man who brings violence, as may be confirmed by many passages from the word, but here only by this from Moses. He that eateth blood, I will set my faces against the soul that eateth blood, and I will cut it off from among his people. For the soul of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that will make atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17, verses 10, 11, and 14. Here the soul denotes the life in a threefold sense, as often elsewhere. That violence inflicted upon charity will bring punishment on itself will be evident from what follows. 1006. From the hand of every wild beast. That this signifies from all that is violent in man is evident from the signification of wild beast. In the word, wild beast, phera, signifies what is living, as shown, number 908. But in the opposite sense, it signifies what is like a wild beast, thus whatever is ferine in man, as also shown above. Therefore it signifies a man of such life, namely a violent man, or one who does violence to charity, for he is like a wild beast. Man is a man from love and charity, but he is a wild beast from hatred, revenge, and cruelty. 1007. From the hand of man, homo. That this is from all of his will, and that from the hand of the man brother, viri fratris, is from all his intellectual, is evident from the signification of man, for the essential and life of man is his will, and such as the will is, such is the man, and from the signification of a man brother. The intellectual in man is called man-brother, as shown before, number 367. Whether it be a true intellectual, a spurious intellectual, or a false intellectual, it is still called a man-brother. For the understanding is called man, vir, number 158, 265, and the brother of the will, number 367. Man homo and man brother vir are here mentioned, and the unclean will and unclean intellectual are so called because profanation is here treated of, no mention or representation of which is tolerated in heaven, but is at once rejected. For this reason such mild terms are here used, and the meaning of the words of this verse is in a manner ambiguous, that it may not be known in heaven that such things are contained in it. 1008. Will I require the soul of man? That this means to avenge profanation is evident from what has been said in the preceding verse and in this verse. For the subject is the eating of blood, by which is signified profanation. What profanation is, few know, and still less what its punishment is in the other life. Profanation is manifold. He who utterly denies the truths of faith does not profane them, as do not the nations which live outside the church and of cognitions. But he profanes them who knows the truths of faith, and especially he who acknowledges them, bears them in his mouth, preaches them, and persuades others to adopt them, and yet lives in hatred, revenge, cruelty, robbery, and adultery, which he confirms in himself by many things which he extracts from the word, perverting them and thus immersing them in these foul evils. He it is who profanes. And it is such profanity chiefly that brings death to a man, as may be evident from this, that in the other life what is profane and what is holy are entirely separated, what is profane in hell and what is holy in heaven. When such a man comes into the other life, in every idea of his thought, just as in the life of the body, what is holy adheres to what is profane. He cannot there bring forth a single idea of what is holy without what is profane being seen adhering, as clearly as in daylight, there is such perception of another's ideas in the other life. Thus in everything he thinks, profanation is manifest. And since heaven abhors profanation, he cannot but be thrust down into hell. The nature of ideas is known to hardly anyone. It is supposed that they are something simple. But in each idea of thought there are things innumerable, variously conjoined so as to make a certain form, and hence pictured image of the man, which is all perceived and even seen in the other life. Merely for example, when the idea of a place occurs, whether of a country, a city, or a house, then an idea and image of all things the man has ever done there comes forth, and they are all seen by angels and spirits. Or when the idea of a person whom he has held in hatred, then the idea comes forth of all things which he has thought, spoken, and done against him. And so it is with all other ideas. When they come up, all things in general and particular that he has conceived and impressed on himself in regard to the subject in question lie open to view. As when the idea of marriage arises. If he has been an adulterer, all filthy and obscene things of adultery, even of thought about it, come forth. Likewise all things with which he has confirmed adulteries, whether from things of sense, from things of reason, or from the word, and how he has adulterated and perverted the truths of the word. Moreover, the idea of one thing flows into the idea of another and colors it, as when a little black is dropped into water and the whole volume of water is darkened. Thus is the spirit known from his ideas. And, wonderful to say, in every idea of his there is an image or likeness of himself, which, when presented to view, is so deformed as to be horrible to see. From this it is evident what is the state of those who profane holy things, and what is their appearance in the other life. But it can never be said that those profane holy things who in simplicity have believed what is said in the word, even if they have believed what was not true. For things are said in the word according to appearances, as may be seen above. Number 589. 1009, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood in man, his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Sheddeth man's blood in man signifies extinguishing charity. In man is with man. His blood shall be shed signifies his condemnation. For in the image of God made he man signifies charity, which is the image of God. 1010. Whoso sheddeth man's blood in man. That this signifies extinguishing charity, and that in man is with man, is evident from the signification of blood, concerning which see above, as being the holiness of charity, and from its being said, man's blood in man. This means his internal life, which is not in him, but with him. For the life of the Lord is charity, which is not in man, because he is filthy and profane, but is with man. That shedding blood is inflicting violence on charity is evident from passages in the Word, as from those adduced before, number 374, 376, where it was shown that violence inflicted upon charity is called blood. Shedding blood is in the literal sense killing, but in the internal sense it is bearing hatred against the neighbor, as the Lord teaches in Matthew. Ye have heard that it was said to them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that every one who is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. 5:21-22. Here, being angry signifies receding from charity, on which see number 357, and consequently hatred. He who is in hatred not only has no charity, but also inflicts violence on charity, that is, sheds blood. In hatred lies actual murder, as is manifest from this, that he who hates desires nothing so much as that the one he hates should be killed, and if he were not withheld by outward restraints, he would kill him. For this reason, the killing of a brother and the shedding of his blood is hatred. And since it is hatred, there is this in every idea of his against him. It is the same with profanation. He who profanes the word, as has been said, not only holds truth in hatred, but also extinguishes or kills it. This is manifest from those in the other life who have committed profanation. No matter how upright, wise, and devout they have appeared outwardly during their life in the body, in the other life they hold the Lord in deadly hatred, and also all the goods of love and the truths of faith, for the reason that these are opposed to their inward hatred, robbery, and adultery, which they have veiled with a show of holiness, and while adulterating the goods of love and the truths of faith to favor themselves. That blood means profanation is evident not only from the passages adduced above, number 374, but also from the following in Moses. What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it without the camp, and hath not brought it under the door of the tent of meeting to offer it as an oblation unto Yahuwah before the tabernacle of Yahuwah, blood shall be imputed unto that man, he hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. Leviticus 17:3-4. Sacrificing in any other place than on the altar, which was near the tabernacle, represented profanation. For sacrificing was a holy thing, but profane if in the camp or without the camp. 1011. His blood shall be shed. That this signifies his condemnation is evident from what has been said. It is according to the sense of the letter that the shedder of blood, or the slayer, should be punished with death. But in the internal sense, the meaning is that he who has hatred against the neighbor is thereby condemned to death, that is, to hell, as the Lord also teaches in Matthew. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. 5:22. For when charity is extinguished, the man is left to himself and to his proprium, and is no longer ruled by the Lord through internal bonds which are of conscience, but through external bonds derived from such laws as he himself makes for the sake of his own wealth and power. And when these bonds are relaxed, as is the case in the other life, he rushes into the greatest cruelty and obscenity, thus into his own condemnation. That the blood of him shall be shed who sheddeth blood is a law of retaliation well known to the ancients, according to which they judged crimes and wrongs, is evident from many passages in the Word. This law has its origin in the universal law that one should not do to another what he would not that another should do to him, Matthew 7, verse 12, as also from this, that it is the order universal in the other life that evil punishes itself, and likewise falsity, thus that an evil and falsity are their own punishment. And because there is such order that evil punishes itself, or what is the same, that an evil man rushes into punishment answering to his evil, the ancients deduced from this their law of retaliation, as is here also signified by the declaration that whoso sheddeth blood, his blood shall be shed, that is, he will rush into condemnation. 1012. The literal meaning of the words, whoso sheddeth man's blood in man, his blood shall be shed, is one who sheds another's blood. But in the internal sense, it is not another's blood, but charity in oneself. For this reason it is said, man's blood in man. Sometimes when two are spoken of in the literal sense, only one is meant in the internal sense. The internal man is man in man. Whoso, therefore, extinguishes charity, which is of the internal man, or is the internal man himself, his blood shall be shed, that is, he condemns himself. 1013. For in the image of God it made man. That this signifies charity, which is the image of God, follows as a consequence. In the preceding verse, charity was treated of, which was signified by blood, and that it should not be extinguished was signified by not shedding blood. Here now it follows that it made man into the image of God, from which it is evident that charity is the image of God. What the image of God is, hardly anyone knows at the present day. They say that the image of God was lost in the first man, whom they call Adam, and that it was a certain perfection, of the nature of which they are ignorant. And indeed there was perfection, for by Adam or man is meant the most ancient church, which was a celestial man and had perception, such as had no church after it. By reason of which it was also a likeness of the Lord. A likeness of the Lord signifies love to him. After this church perished in the course of time, the Lord created a new church, which was not a celestial but a spiritual church. This was not a likeness but an image of the Lord. An image signifies spiritual love, that is, love to the neighbor or charity, as has been shown before, number 50 and 51. That this church was, from spiritual love or charity, an image of the Lord, is evident from this verse. And that charity is itself an image of the Lord is evident from its being said, for in the image of God it made man, that is to say, charity itself made him so. That charity is the image of God is most clearly evident from the very essence of love or charity. Nothing but love and charity can make an image and likeness of anyone. It is the essence of love and charity to make of two, as it were, one. When one person loves another as himself, and more than himself, he then sees the other in himself, and himself in the other. This may be known to everyone if he only directs his attention to love or to those who love each other. The will of the one is the will of the other. They are interiorly, as it were, joined together, and only in body distinct from one another. Love to the Lord makes man one with the Lord, that is, a likeness of him. So does charity, or love towards the neighbor, make him one with the Lord, but as an image. An image is not a likeness, but is according to or after a likeness. This oneness arising from love, the Lord describes in John. I pray that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And the glory which thou hast given unto me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me. 17, verses 21 to 23. This being one is that mystical union which some think about, and which is by love alone. Again, I live, and ye shall live. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. 14, verses 19 to 23. Hence it is evident that it is love that conjoins, and that the Lord has his abode with him who loves him, and also with him who loves the neighbor, for this is the Lord's love. This union, which makes a likeness and image, cannot be so well seen among men, but is seen in heaven, where from mutual love all the angels are as a one. Each society, which consists of many, constitutes, as it were, one man. And all the societies together, or the universal heaven, constitute one man, which is also called the grand man. See number 457, 549. The universal heaven is the likeness of the Lord, for the Lord is the all in all who are therein. So also is each society a likeness, and so is each angel. The celestial angels are likenesses, the spiritual angels are images. Thus heaven consists of as many likenesses of the Lord as there are angels, and this solely through mutual love, one loving another more than himself. See number 548, 549. For in order that the general or universal heaven may be a likeness, the parts or individual angels must be likenesses, or images that are according to likenesses. Unless the general consists of parts like itself, it is not a general that makes a one. From these things it may be seen, as from an archetype or idea, what makes a likeness and image of God, namely love to the Lord and love towards the neighbor. Consequently, that every regenerate spiritual man, from love or charity, which is from the Lord alone, is his image. And he who is in charity from the Lord is in perfection, of which perfection, by the divine mercy of the Lord, we will treat hereafter. 1014, verse 7. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and be ye multiplied therein. Be ye fruitful and multiply signifies here, as before, increase of good and truth in the interior man. To be fruitful, being predicated of goods, and to be multiplied of truths. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and be ye multiplied therein, signifies increase of good and truth in the external man, which is the earth. To bring forth abundantly is predicated of goods, and to be multiplied of truths. 1015. Be ye fruitful and multiply. that this signifies increase of good and truth in the interior man, and that to be fruitful is predicated of goods, and to multiply of truths, is evident from what has been shown before at the first verse of this chapter, where the same words occur. That the increase is in the interior man is evident from what follows, where it is said again, "Be ye multiplied," which repetition would be needless because superfluous, if it did not signify something special, distinct from what goes before. From this and from what was said above, it is evident that being fruitful and multiplying are here predicated of goods and truths in the interior man. It is said the interior man, because, as was shown above, in respect to what is celestial and spiritual, which is of the Lord alone, man is an internal man. But as to what is rational, he is an interior or middle man, intermediate between the internal man and the external. And in respect to the affections of good and scientifics of the memory, he is an external man. That such is the nature of man has been shown in what is premised to this chapter, number 978. But his not knowing it while he lives in the body is because he is in the things of the body, and hence does not even know that there are interior things, still less that they are set in this distinct and separate order. Yet on reflecting, the fact will be quite evident to him when he is in thought withdrawn from the body and is thinking, as it were, in his spirit. The reason fruitfulness and multiplication are predicated of the interior or rational man is that the working of the internal man is not perceived except in the interior man in a very general manner. For in the interior man, an innumerable host of particulars are presented to view as one general thing, most extremely general, in fact. How innumerable the particulars are, what is their nature, and how they present an obscure general whole, is evident from what has been shown above, number 545. 1016. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and be ye multiplied therein. That this signifies increase of good and truth in the external man, which is the earth, and that to bring forth abundantly is predicated of goods, and to be multiplied of truths, is evident from what has now been said, and also from the signification of earth as being the external man. Concerning which significations, see what was said and shown at the first verse of this chapter, number 983. As to its being said, "Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and be ye multiplied therein," the case is this. Nothing is multiplied with the regenerate man in his external man, that is, nothing of good and truth receives increase except as the effect of charity. Charity is like heat in the time of spring or summer, which causes grass and plants and trees to grow. Without charity or spiritual heat, nothing grows, and for this reason it is here said in the first place, "Bring forth abundantly in the earth," which is predicated of the goods that are of charity, by means of which there is multiplication of good and truth. Anyone may understand how this is, for nothing is increased and multiplied in man unless there be some affection, for it is the delight of the affection that causes it not only to take root, but also to increase, and everything depends upon the influence of the affection. What a man loves, he freely learns, retains, and cherishes, thus all things that favor any affection. Those that do not favor, the man cares nothing for, regards as nothing, and even rejects. But such as the affection is, such is the multiplication. With the regenerate man, the affection is that of good and truth from the charity that is given by the Lord. Whatever therefore favors the affection of charity, he learns, retains, and cherishes, and thus confirms himself in goods and truths. This is signified by, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and be ye multiplied therein. 1017. To show that the multiplication is such as is the affection, take, for example, a man who accepts the principle that faith alone saves, even if he does no work of charity, that is, even if he has no charity, and who thus separates faith from charity, not only on account of this principle received from childhood, but also because he supposes that if one should call the works of charity, or charity itself, an essential part of faith, and should on this account live aright, he could not but place merit in works, though this is a false supposition. Thus he rejects charity and makes the works of charity of no account, abiding only in the idea of faith, which is no faith without its essential, namely charity. In confirming this principle in himself, he does it not at all from the affection of good, but from the affection of delight, that he may live in the indulgence of his lusts. And any one belonging to this class of people who confirms faith alone by many things, does so not from any affection of truth, but for his own glory, that he may seem greater, more learned, and more exalted than others, and may thus take a high place among those in wealth and honor. Thus he does it from the delight of the affection, and this delight causes the multiplication of the confirmatory things. For, as has been said, such as the affection is, such is the multiplication. In general, when the principle is false, nothing but falsities can follow from it, for all things conform themselves to the first principle. Indeed, as I know from experience, of which by the divine mercy of the Lord we will treat hereafter, those who confirm themselves in such principles about faith alone and are in no charity, care nothing for and are as if they did not see all that the Lord said so many times about love and charity. See Matthew 3, verses 8 and 9, 5, verses 7, 43 to 48, 6, verses 12 and 15, 7, verses 1 to 20, 9, verse 13, 12, verse 33, 13, verses 8 and 23, 18, verses 21 to 23 and to the end, 19, verse 19, 22, verses 34 to 39, 24, verses 12 and 13, 21, verses 34, 40, 41, and 43, Mark 4, verses 18 to 20, 11, verses 13, 14, and 20, 12, verses 28 to 35. Luke 3, verses 8 and 9. 6, verses 27 to 39, 43 to the end. 7, verse 47. 8, verses 8, 14 and 15. 10, verses 25 to 28. 12, verses 58 and 59. 13, verses 6 to 10. John 3, verses 19 and 21. 5, verse 42. 13, verses 34 and 35. 14, verses 14, 15, 20, 21, and 23. 15, verses 1 to 19. 21, verses 15 to 17. 1018. The reason why it is here said again, be ye fruitful and multiply, as in the first verse of the chapter, is that here is the conclusion, and that all things will go well and will be fruitful and multiply, if men shun what is signified by eating blood and by shedding blood, that is, if they do not extinguish charity by hatreds and profanations. 1019, verse 8. And God said unto Noah, and to his sons with him, saying, God said unto Noah, and to his sons with him, saying, signifies the truth of the things that follow in regard to the spiritual church, which is meant by Noah and his sons with him. 1020. That these things are signified is evident from the fact that all things put historically, from the first chapter of Genesis to Eber in the 11th chapter, signify things quite different from those that appear in the letter. And the historical series is only made up history, after the manner of the most ancient people, who, when they would attest the truth of a thing, declared that Yahuwah said it. Here, however, it is said that God said it, because the subject treated of is the spiritual church. They used the same form of speaking when anything true was coming to pass or had done so. 1021. That by Noah and his sons with him is signified the ancient church has been shown before, and will be evident in what follows in this chapter, so that there is no need to confirm it now. 1022, verses 9 and 10. And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living soul that is with you, the fowl, the beast, and every wild animal of the earth with you. Of all that go out of the ark, even every wild animal of the earth. And I, behold, I establish my covenant, signifies the presence of the Lord in charity. With you, signifies the regenerate spiritual man. And with your seed after you, signifies those who are being created anew. And with every living soul that is with you, signifies in general all things in man that have been regenerated. The fowl signifies specifically the things of his understanding, the beast, the things of his new will. And every wild animal of the earth signifies the lower things of his understanding and those of his will therefrom. With you signifies here as before what is in the regenerate spiritual man. Of all that go out of the ark signifies the men of the church. Even every wild animal of the earth signifies the men outside the church. 1023. And I, behold, I establish my covenant. That this signifies the presence of the Lord in charity is evident from the signification of covenant as shown above, number 666. Where it was shown that a covenant signifies regeneration, and indeed the conjunction of the Lord with the regenerate man by love, and that the celestial marriage is that various covenant itself, and consequently so is the celestial marriage with every regenerate man. This marriage or covenant has been treated of before. With the man of the most ancient church, the celestial marriage was in the proprium of his will part. But with the man of the ancient church, the celestial marriage was effected in the proprium of his intellectual part. For when man's will part had become wholly corrupt, the Lord miraculously separated the proprium of his intellectual part from that corrupt proprium of his will part. And in the proprium of his intellectual part he formed a new will, which is conscience. and into the conscience insinuated charity, and into the charity innocence, and thus conjoined himself with man, or what is the same, made a covenant with him. So far as the proprium of man's will part can be separated from this proprium of the intellectual part, the Lord can be present with him, or conjoin himself, or enter into a covenant with him. Temptations and the like means of regeneration cause the proprium of man's will part to be quiescent, to become as nothing, and as it were to die. So far as this is done, the Lord, through the conscience implanted in the proprium of man's intellectual part, can work in charity. And this is what is here called a covenant. 1024. With you. That this signifies the regenerate spiritual man is evident from what has been said before. Namely, that Noah and his sons signify the spiritual church which succeeded the most ancient celestial church. And since the church is signified, so also is each man of the church, thus the regenerate spiritual man.